Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome again today. We just extend a warm welcome to you. You're in the right place. Don't know how we follow up last week. It was just like a party here. The baptism was just awesome. Barb, we're so thankful that Barb went through a procedure this week, and she's with us, and she's doing wonderful, and we give God all of the glory and the honor and the praise. He is so, so faithful. And really what's been on our heart is revival in God's house, that he wants to do a new thing, a fresh wave. It's always fresh manna from heaven, the word of God. And at the end of the service, God actually gave me a powerful, powerful vision about the Holy Spirit. It has to do with my daughter, Sandra, and it's really powerful, and I want to share that with you. But we're going to be talking about the goodness of God today. And no matter what you're going through, God is good. He is good. And I want to talk just a little bit about that today, but Pastor Ken's going to open up and start us off.
Amen. It just seems like there's so much happening in the world of the Spirit. I know there's a lot happening in your life, but I believe the Holy Spirit's wanting to move in your life. Satan is the chain maker, and God is the chain breaker. Thank God for that. You know, there's times in your Christian walk, in your spiritual walk, that there was just a fire in your heart, a passion about Jesus and about the Word of God. And we need to get back to that, excitement over the Word, that trust in the Word, having that fire lit within us. I was thinking, we are the light of the world. We need to be burning for God. I like the title, Pam, Let Your Glory Fill This House, because we are talking about revival. And when you first hear that title, you probably think of Let Your Glory Fill This House, right? You think about this place. But I want you to peel the onion one more layer. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let your glory fill this house. If God will fill us as individuals, then it'll be manifest in this place. You carry an anointing with you. You do. You carry an anointing with you. I've told this story before, but I was in two stories. Once I went into a restaurant, I was actually with my son Tyler, and right in the middle of the meal, I'm like, what just happened? What's wrong? And I just had these yellow something. People had walked in. They carry a spirit with them. Another time I was in a restaurant with another one of my sons, with Nathan this time, I believe. But that might have been Tyler. But anyway, I'm in this restaurant, and I wasn't really paying attention to what was going on. And I was just like, oh, my goodness, the Holy Spirit is here so strong. And I'm like, what's happening in this place? Why do I feel like I'm in the best church service I've ever been? And I found out that there was a Baptist convention, and the restaurant, which I hadn't paid attention to, was filled with believers who had just come from a worship service. And I felt that. You carry an anointing with you. We all do. And God does too. And Pam had in the notes that God is good. I love that thought. You know, you can't spell good without spelling God. And the Bible says, in him is light and there's no darkness at all. Do you know as bright as the sun is, which you would go blind if you stared at it for a few seconds, right? You know, you can't do that. But the sun isn't even that bright. Do you know the dark spots on the sun are not really dark spots? They're just not as bright as the other spots. But they would put your eyes out. They're really not dark spots. And even our sun's brightness, which the Bible talks about, Jesus is brighter than the noonday sun. Do you know that when stars go supernova and explode, that there can be stars in other galaxies that one star outshines millions and millions and millions of other stars? In him is light and there's no darkness at all. What that means is, he is good and there's no evil in him whatsoever. He's pure goodness. He's pure light. Yes. Yes. And that's who we're connected with. It really is. And the idea that we could have revival, we could have refreshing, we could have a new anointing, a new walk with God, that God even wants to have that with us, is absolutely amazing. Like I said, there's a lot going on. I feel there's a lot going on in my heart, in my spirit. I feel like I'm wrestling with God, which is a good thing, to wrestle with God and say, I don't want to let go of you, God. There's a stubbornness about that, right, saying, you're going to bless me. Don't. And another thing, Pim, and I know I'm slightly off the script here, but it's all related. When Moses said, I don't want to leave here. If your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to. I was thinking that at the altar. I always think of that. I don't even want to stand up from this altar. I just want to stay here forever if you're not going to go with me. Because that's everything in life. Thank God for the cross. Thank God we're taking communion today. Lots of great things happening in the kingdom of God. And I just want to say this. You want to get in on what God is doing. You know, the last thing before I turn over, I saw this surfer movie. I've never went surfing. I don't know anything about surfing. But what they say is, okay, a wave's coming, and they're like, you can catch the next wave, or you can let it go, right? So I guess you paddle and you're going to catch the wave. You get ready for the wave, or you can let it go. And then the Holy Spirit just comes in waves, and you all want to get in on that. You want to catch a wave, and you go, that's scary. I know. It'll take you places. It'll go higher. You'll go further. You're going to be scared. You're going to be terrified. It's going to be an adventure. It's going to be exciting. But who wants to live a dull, dry, uninteresting life? I want the Spirit of God moving in and around my life. Let it be an adventure. Let the rest of your life be God moving through you and with you. And see that vision of yourself ministering to others. See that vision of yourself anointed by God, being used by God, not dry firewood at all, but lights for the Lord, being anointed and appointed and used. I want to be used by God, Pam.
God has promised me that this church is going to be used in end time revival, and you're going to be a part of it. And that every single week, we now invite the Holy Spirit to come here, have his way every Sunday, and it's happening on Monday also, that you can just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in a new way, because we're actively, openly inviting him, letting him know every week, you are absolutely welcome here. We invite you to come as our honored guest. You're going to be the star. No one else is. Man is not going to take center stage. But we are talking about being filled with the Spirit today and the goodness of God. And I know that life is hard, okay? Can I say that? How many of you got situations that are really, really hard right now? You know, so many people are just being crushed by life. Do you know what my prayer life is like on a daily basis? Because my heart has been bleeding for about 3 weeks now, just crushed. Do you know what my prayer is? Every breath is, help me, God. Help me, God. I'm counting on you. I'm believing for a miracle. God, I trust in you. God, and here's what I say. God, you are still good. And you know, this is what happened to me the other day when I was saying that to God. He said, but you don't understand what good is. Because when you say, hey, Ken, how was the meal? And he goes, good. Like, okay, let me tell you what God did for me. He said, I want you to pull from the Hebrew, and I want to show you how good I am. And he directed me to the word tov, which means good. That's where the word good comes from. It's T-O-V. When God created the heaven and the earth, he said it was good, not okay, not just all right. When he said it was good, the word good means amazing, awesome, perfect, perfectly whole, beautiful, right. He saw that it was right, that it was awesome, that it was good. That's his idea of what is good. And every time he created, he said, that is good, that is awesome, that is right, that is perfect, that's absolutely the best ever. And that's how we should see the goodness of God. When we say God is good, God is right, what he does is right, what he does is awesome, what he does is amazing. And another word it means is life-giving. God is good. He is the giver of life. And it just changed my perspective when I say God is good. And here's the trap. When we see that our life is not perfect, but God is good no matter how hard life gets for us. You know, and he's not the cause of our problems. He's the answer to our problems instead. And up until this point, and I've said this before, if you're sitting here today, God has kept you all of these years. He's kept you breathing. He's kept your heart beating. He's kept you healthy enough to be here today. He is a good, right, awesome, perfect God, or you just simply would not be here today at all if he was not good. And he's brought so many of us out of things like addiction, out of depression, out of brokenness, out of broken homes. And besides helping us, you know, and when I say we should want more of our good God, I do not mean, let me rephrase this. I don't want us to think, I mean, I want more from God. There's a difference in saying, I want more from God. I want more of God. A relationship with God. I want a better relationship with God, not more blessings. I mean, God gives the blessings automatically. We have so many blessings. Come on, you live in the United States, people. You made it through a pandemic, didn't you? God is good. So I don't need to keep asking him for blessings. I need to ask for more of him. And, you know, I keep thinking about this, and I want to read something, but the answer to the situation in our lives is being filled with the Holy Spirit. There is an old song that some of you know and some of you don't called Fill My Cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. And that day never comes, by the way. Here's my cup, I lift it up. And so I'm going to read a scripture to you, and we're really going to get into this. This is from the book of Haggai the prophet. 2:1. In the 7th month of the year of King Darius, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, that's pretty specific, it's not a parable, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the people, the remnant of the people, as them, those who are left and who remember. That's Tony. It's the words of Tony. Pacina. Ask what? Who is left among you who saw this house in her first glory? In his, and by the way, first glory means finest glory. Who saw this house in its finest glory back in the day? And how do you see it now? How do you think about it when you think about it? Is it not in your eyes in comparison to then like nothing? Wow, here's what God is saying. Things are not quite like they used to be. Used to, you guys were all on fire. And sometimes when you even think about it, it's like a memory, like you think, this may never have happened. It just seems like it didn't happen. It's only a memory. Let me tell you something. God is saying, I'm going to fill my house again. And if you've been here the past 2 weeks, you already know that. If you've been here on Monday night, you already know that. God is filling, but we need more.
It's the new manna. It's fresh bread. Leslie told me today about someone that had donated 2-year-old crackers to a food pantry. And they were saying, no one wants those old stale crackers. When you walk in a restaurant, you don't want crackers anyway. You want to smell fresh bread with butter on it. I shouldn't have even said that, because now everyone is instantly hungry. We just lost everybody, Pam. Mental note, don't mention food anymore. New wine, new bread, fresh bread. That's what the house of the Lord is supposed to be, where people smell the fresh bread. We cannot rely on yesterday's manna.
No.
The word has to be fresh oil. Here's what the prophet Haggai added. But now, be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Well, you got to put your name in there, remember. Yeah. Zerubbabel doesn't mean anything to me. He's gone. You're here. All right. Be strong, Vic. It's what the word, it doesn't, my Bible says, be strong, O Vic. All right. And be strong, Tony. He said Joshua, but Tony, Joshua's gone. You got to be Joshua. Be strong, Tony, son of Jodech, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you. I am with you. Oh, that I am with you. He's with us. God is with us. Come on, we got God. Praise God. Boy, we're running this race, but that guy that just died, that he was an adult, but when he was a child, he was in a wheelchair and he was paralyzed. And his father wasn't a runner or an athlete, but became a triathlete and pushed this kid. Yep. Did swimming, biking, and running. Mm-hmm. Swam with this paralyzed child in the back, like in a boat or something, like he's pulling him. On the bike, had him on the bike. Pushed him in a wheelchair. They did marathons together. Boy, that's our walk with God. We are nothing. We can do nothing. You can't run a marathon. You can't do anything you have within your own strength. But if you go with God, if you go with Jesus, that kid ran so many marathons, and it was only because of the power of his father that went with him. We go with God. In and of ourselves, we are nothing. But to have the Holy Spirit in your life, you and God together, I believe that me and Michael Jordan can beat just about any two people. I do. I believe you put me and Michael on the court, and we are going to win. But that is not because of my skills. And I believe that with Jesus, that all things are possible. And you know, you hear the word rhema used, a rhema word. The Bible has different words for word. There's the logos of God, which is just the written word of God. But the written word of God is just ink on paper. The rhema word of God is the word alive. Let me tell you what it is. You could buy seeds. It'll say corn. It'll say green beans, right? And you could keep those in your closet for years. And say, I'm going to go get some green beans out of the closet. Nope. You got them in the seeds. But if you take that same logos, right, and you plant it and water it and pray over it, it becomes living. And we are the seed. Then the Bible says to present your body as a living sacrifice. I think of that when I pray, especially when I'm at the altar. I'm like, I present my life. Use it. I'm a vessel. I have nothing that I want to do with my life other than God. Jesus said a seed has to die. What does that mean? If you plant a seed of corn and then the corn grows, you go, I'm going to go dig up the seed. The seed's gone. You become the seed and you grow in Christ. You grow in Christ. But in order to grow, you have to die to your own dreams, to your own self. My goodness, if you are an apple seed, don't try to be a banana. Don't try to be something else. God has decided who you are and what you're going to grow up into be. A banana can't say, I want to be an apple. You are a fruit tree, and you're going to bear fruit of love and joy and long-suffering. And as I turn this back to Pam, I want to go back to my point, because Pam had put in the notes, she says, if you are here today, you are the remnant, and you remember the revivals of old. So I want to say this. You know, you read in the Bible about these heroes. I read about Paul. Oh, yeah. And I read about Peter and the Old Testament heroes. You read about Esther. You read about Ruth. You read about men of power and God and anointing. And I want you to tell you, they're all gone. Paul, we cannot invite him to preach. I can't get Peter to give a testimony. There is no one from the Bible that we can call and bring in here to help us. But thank God Emmy is here.
Amen.
Emmy, you're here. Esther isn't here, but Emmy's here. And the reason I call Emmy's name is every few months on Sunday night, she'll come and give her testimony. And what her testimony is every time is different because she tells about the last few months what she does day to day. And what I love about her testimony is she is someone living her life trusting God every day. Her job is her ministry. She's in ministry and she's in danger and everything. Emmy, I love those simple testimonies about what God did yesterday, that she's trusting in God. I love that. And if we could bring in the heroes of the Bible, we would find out, that's the hero of the Bible? Seriously? Because let's bring in the powerhouse from the Old Testament. Let's bring in Elijah. Woo! And the Bible says Elijah was a man just like we are. You'd bring him in and it would just be like having Tony Smith come up here and go, here's Elijah. And you're like, hey, I'm here. Everybody in the Bible was a man or woman just like you, but what made them extraordinary wasn't them. It was the anointing that was in and on them. The anointing made the difference, and if you don't believe it, you look at before Pentecost, what the church did, and then look at what they did after Pentecost. Look at what Jesus did before he was baptized, and look what he did after he was baptized. It makes the difference, the Holy Spirit. And it will make the difference in this church. It will make the difference in your life. The Holy Spirit is not a theory. It's not just words. The Holy Spirit is as real as a person as Pastor Pam is. You could meet Pastor Pam. You could go to lunch with her. You could meet the Holy Spirit. And he will advise you.
It's absolutely the truth. One of the things that I had put, and I don't know at what point it's in the notes, is last week's baptism is only the beginning. That's only the beginning. What we want now is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and really get in, really get in. Do you wonder why the prophet Haggai said, do you remember? That is not a question for them. That is a question for us. Do you remember? And what he's saying is, do you remember the power of God? Do you remember the glory of God? Do you remember experiencing God? Do you remember when you first got saved? Do you remember all the goodness that God has done for you? And do you know that in the Word of God, that's the primary thing that he warns people about forgetting? Do not forget. Because he says, when you come into your houses and lands, when you got good houses and you got a comfortable bed to stay in, instead of come to church on Sunday morning and instead of come to Bible study on Monday night, you've got a comfortable place. You've got other things to do, he said. But don't forget, God has to be number one. He will never settle for number two. But I like what Ken said. And I think a lot about remembering, but not just remembering that. What he said about Emmy, remembering the goodness of God. Do you remember the time that you thought, they thought, you had cancer at the doctor's office, but you didn't? Do you remember the time you were in the car accident, or AKA motorcycle accident? And I did that for Emmy, for our Esther. And you were in that motorcycle accident, but why are you here today? Because of the goodness of God. You know, to remember God, you know, I thought of this when we were talking about remembering. You know, it's like sometimes I'll say to Ken, you know, hey, we have not been to Ruth's Chris in so long. Do you remember that steak and how they just soak it in butter and they put it and do you remember that chocolate cake? And it's like, he does. See, he does. But he wouldn't have even thought about that unless someone gives the word and says, let's talk about the goodness of God. Do you remember the goodness of God? And something that God has always put on my heart is this. We see today, and I follow a man, a son, whose father has Alzheimer's. And some of the things that his father does is kind of humorous, and even the things he's dealing with him, he's wanting to help educate people. But sometimes I watch it and I wish it wasn't on because I think it's just the most sad, heartbreaking thing of all. The dad will keep asking about his car and the son will say, you know, you sold your car, Dad. And, you know, and I think of the physical Alzheimer's and then God leads me to think of the spiritual Alzheimer's that we can have where we forget what happened and we forget who God is. And the Bible says something interesting when Haggai starts to speak. It says, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. And Pastor Ken and I are not the only pastors, teachers, prophets. All of us should be prophesying, speaking the word of the Lord, prophesying the word of the Lord, because it takes someone speaking up and reminding us, and like Emmy, continually giving our testimony is honoring to God. But here's what Haggai continues. He talks about the house, and he said, and this is for this church right here. He says, for this, says the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while. In just a little while, I mean a little while is a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry lands, and I'll shake all nations. And in a while, I'll shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And here's the last part. I will fill this house with the glory of the Lord, says the Lord of hosts. And the silver and gold are mine. That's a comment that's interesting. But it means we don't have to worry about silver and gold. He says this, God continues on through Haggai, the glory of this house, this latter house, because now he's not talking about what happened back then, because you can forget about what happened back then. That's over, right? We talked about it. Yes, I remember it, but it's not now, is it? He says, but this house that you see here today, he was very specific. So that's what I'm saying to you. This house that you see today, look around you, it's going to be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, can everybody say, this place will I give peace, shalom. Nothing will be broken. Nothing will be missing, says the Lord of hosts. And here's something I thought of as I was typing this. God's word is so to us today that he did not give a date. Now, you notice he gave a date about when it happened back then, on the 20th and the 7th and all that. But he's talking about today, right now, and he didn't put a date on it. So it's right now. We are reading this in this year, on August 6th, in the year of 2023, the Lord God says, I will fill this house with my glory. And my sons and daughters will prophesy. The old men will dream dreams. The young men will have visions. Let me tell you something. That is happening right now. I can tell you that I was telling Mom yesterday, I don't know what's happening to me. I can literally be talking to someone and God speaking in my ear. I can hear him say, I was counseling someone the other day, and he said, give me a word from God. So I prayed that night, and then I said, I'm not going to give him this word, Lord, unless he asks a second time, and he did. And the Lord told me, you're going to tell him this and this and this and this. Just start speaking to me. And it wasn't an easy thing to say, but I know how to say it with kindness and love and gentleness. And let me tell you, that young man is taking that word and running. But God is speaking to us. I want you to open your spiritual ears and your heart to what God is saying to you today and what he wants to do in this place, because revival is about to break out here.
Well, the children of Israel, when they were finally out of Egypt, they were out of slavery, and we know how they got in disbelief and they were complaining about everything. They were remembering the children who hadn't even been in Egypt because they were children. Yeah. We're like, you know, 40 years later, like, oh, Egypt, we had pomegranates, oranges. It was just, oh, it was beautiful.
No, you didn't.
You were making bricks.
You were building.
So they remembered wrong. And so I want to say, there's nothing you're missing out in the world. I don't care how many friends you have that have become multimillionaires. Do you really? Well, I remember being in my late 20s, early 30s, and there was, and I've told this story before, but this was an attorney that was a multimillionaire. He was in his late 40s, early 50s. Man, that guy had everything. He had it. He bought a brand new Bonanza airplane that had to cost $400,000. He had a Corvette that probably cost $120,000. And I remember thinking, man, I'd like to be that guy. And a few weeks later, his plane went down. I'm like, I don't want to be that guy.
No, you don't. No.
The things we think we want are maybe not the things that we do want. Don't be envious of what the world has. Because let me tell you, what they have is nothing. All the money in the world won't buy what we need. It won't buy salvation, won't buy joy, and it will probably keep us from God. Boy, Jesus said a lot about desiring riches and how it will, that love of money will just ruin your life. And as much as everybody wants to win the $1 billion, I want to tell you something. If you had a lottery ticket worth $1.5 billion and you put it next to a salvation ticket, which one do you really want? Which one do you really want? The bowl of soup now, or do you want Jesus, and do you want heaven? I think that before God can move in our life, we have to put down our foolish dreams. Come on. Your imagination, imagine yourself preaching. Imagine yourself ministering. Maybe not preaching, maybe not teaching. Whatever God has for you, whether it's singing or helping someone. But imagine yourself being anointed, appointed, and used of God mightily. And the reason I throw out preaching is because don't tell God what you want to do. Ask God what he wants you to do. You know, God, use me however. I don't have to, because I promise you, God may not use what you think are your gifts. Paul was an expert in Jewish law, so God sent him to the Gentiles. Why didn't he send him to the Jews? That's what he knows. No, go to the Jews. God did not use him where he thought. You may be the best singer in the world, and God may not use you in that area. So here's the thing about seeking things. My old pastor used to say, when your eyes are opened, you'll be like a billionaire at a carnival. And what he meant was, you're walking down the carnival and they're like, hey, look at these prizes here. Win a Cupid doll. Look, we got these AM radios here. And it's a black and white TV set you can win. And you're like, literally the best prize they have isn't something that I want. And the world is like, you want this, you want that, how about this? And you're like, it's all cotton candy, which I hate. It's all sweet cotton candy that will do nothing. I heard the story, and I'll be quick here. I heard the story of a father that decided for Christmas to buy his son a blue bike. He saw a blue bike, it was on sale. He goes, I'm going to get this for my son. He hid it in the garage. He then spent the next few months, because he got it early, convincing his son that what he really wanted for Christmas, because he's like, the son's like, you know, what I'd really like is a chemistry set, you know. So the father and they begin to talk about bikes, and they begin to talk about what color bike, until the son was saying, what I really want is a blue bike. Whatever you think you want, the father has something in the garage with your name on it already. And he wants to change your heart so that what you say is, God, you know what I really want? Because God's always asking that question. Solomon, what do you want? Esther, what do you want? And Esther said, what I really want is more time with you. There you go. Solomon, what do you really want? What I really want is wisdom. What do you really want? I want souls. What I really want is the anointing of God. I want to help people. What I really want is that $1 billion. When you stop asking for the billion and start asking for a billion souls, you'll get God's attention.
God is so good. He is so faithful. So faithful. And he has more for us. He literally has more for us. More than you ever hoped. More than you ever dreamed. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love him. And that's you. I absolutely believe, but we have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all other things will be added to us. You won't have a problem with finances. You won't have a problem with relationships when you seek the kingdom of God. And, you know, I think I got past this, you know, everybody says we need an outreach and outreach, and I'm not against that. But I want to tell you, better than inviting people to church is to invite the Holy Spirit to come here. People can't change, help. It's the Holy Spirit. And he wants to fill this place himself. I can't even tell you how this is on my heart. So many people, I have at least one person, and there's a couple more, but one in particular, who will go anywhere where there's signs and wonders. Literally, this person, that person, never check into the man's character whatsoever, but will run and seek signs and wonders. Let me tell you something about that. In the Old Testament, Pharaoh's sorcerers could produce some of that same stuff. Now, they could produce snakes. They couldn't take them away. Big point. They could produce those things. You don't seek signs and wonders. Signs and wonders follow you as you believe. As you believe, those supernatural things will begin to happen in your life. They will happen. I promise you, not long ago, I needed an answer from God, and I found it in just the shortest time. I just said, God, I need an answer. And when I say it was just literally out of the blue, God brought it to me. That's how God wants to work in our lives. But we have to seek him. We have to honor him. Ken, you want to?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to play There's a Wind a-Blowing. What's that? Who? Well, we're going to play There's a Wind a-Blowing. So if anyone on the praise team, if we have that and you want to come up. Tony, I don't know. Do we have the words to that or? Okay, Tony's going to look for that. So awesome. So praise team, anyone and everyone, a couple of quick thoughts before we end. I promise you Popeyes will, they're open. They are open. Pam did a message a few years ago called Wells and Altars that I never forgot. And all through the Bible, you see Abraham, Isaac, you see all the people in the Bible, that God would tell them to dig a well and also an altar. And this church is a well and an altar. It's when I used to run in Texas and it would be 100 degree weather and I would be running long distances, I would have to plan my water stations. There's a water fountain here. 4 miles later, there's another water fountain. Because I knew that I had to have a well. I had to have refreshing. I had to, and this place, we're in a desert, folks. But this is a place of wells and altars where we can come. It is communion today. I'm going to turn this over. All right, thank you.
I promised you I would close with a vision that God gave me of something that really happened. So I want to go ahead and read a verse to you. Isaiah 44:3 says, "For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants." And Joel 2 says, "It will come about after this that I will pour." I want you to keep thinking of the word pour out my spirit on all mankind. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and it continues on. I want to tell you about, this was a real event that happened, but then I had a vision of it the other night, and I dreamed it. And in the vision, it was almost like Sandra was representing the Holy Spirit. And I had the vision of her, and this actually happened in the natural. This year we had such a struggle getting our pool cleaned. We've never had it quite like this. The algicide was such a huge, huge battle for us. I mean, there was algicide in the pool, and she had vacuum it, and it would just go everywhere. And it never went away, and it never went away. There were flies in the pool, and Sandra was just fighting that pool. And she was putting pH in it, and she was putting algicide in it. And she started shocking it, and she started pouring bleach. And in my vision, I had this dream of her just pouring. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "That pool is a big container. And it contains dirty water right now. and we've got stuff in our life that represents that algicide and the flies, and we've got stuff in our lives that's not right, and we struggle with it, and we struggle with it. And the Holy Spirit told me, he said, it is not what's in there that matters. It's what you're pouring in there. And I could just see Sandra going all around the pool day after day, pouring that bleach in. And our pool today is crystal clear because that algicide, she tried siphoning it, taking out the algicide, swishing it around, and nothing will clean that container up. Nothing will clean your life up. Let's go ahead and stand. Nothing will clean your life up unless you pour in the Holy Spirit. And when you do and you keep pouring, the Bible says here in these scriptures, I will pour into you. If you just hold your hands up and say, Lord, pour into me your Holy Spirit. Life will change. That algicide, all that junk that you've struggled with all these years, it will be gone, and God will replace it with fresh, living water. I can get in the pool now, and I am healthy, I am refreshed, and there is no unhealthiness there because of what was poured in. And it was just, it was the most clear vision I think I've ever had. Even the fact that Sandra represented the Holy Spirit pouring in, that was wild, but God is good. But we're going to spend some time in worship, and then Alan's going to come, and we're going to receive communion.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.